Welcome, everybody. And thank you, all the Hoffman team, Serena, Lucy, Debbie, who've worked so hard to put this together. It's no small feat. And here we are in this extraordinary time, and we're going to have a look at resilience. So for a lot of the talk, I won't be visible to you. I'll turn on at different times so that you can see me, particularly for the exercises. This is going to be a classic Hoffman experience. You're going to have some chance to look at what's going on for you at the moment, look at some resources, look at how you build resilience, and generally feel a whole lot better, hopefully, about yourself. So resilience is the capacity to stay grounded, centered, and balanced in the face of life's challenges. Through practice, we can expand our level of tolerance for challenges. So this is what we're going to do now, is we're going to have a look at some tools and practices to generally look at this. Now, there'll be times when there's a chance to speak. Obviously, there's quite a lot of you, so I'll definitely invite you at different times to share. If you've got any questions or comments you want to offer, please do. But for now, just closing your eyes and just letting yourself really arrive in this evening. So these are kind of exceptional times going on out there in the world. So just letting yourself just arrive into this evening. We've got about 75, 90 minutes here to really let ourselves fill up, replenish ourselves. I'm just going to turn my camera off now. There will be times when I'm in silence. And if that's the case, don't worry, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm right here, but there will be times of silence during this. So just really letting yourself drop, arrive, breathe. We'll just take a minute to land inside of ourselves. Just take a few really deep breaths. That's it, deep breath right down deep into your body. And another one. You might let out the next one with a big sigh. Yeah. And another one. And now just tense up your body. Just tense it up, tense it up, tense it up, tense it up, and then let it go. And another one. Just tensing, tensing all your muscles, tensing, and then let it go. Yeah, lovely. And last one, tensing up your body, feeling all your muscles, including your legs, and then just letting it go. And then just give your shoulders a little shake. Let yourself come into your body more, letting the day go, letting yourself fully arrive here. Okay. So, resilience. So, resiliency allows somebody to rebound from adversity as a strengthened and more resourceful person. So the more resilient we are, the more we learn from our experience, and then the more resilient we become. So when you take the time, and let's face it, a lot of us do have time at the moment, to build resilience, you're creating skills, reserves of strength, which are then there for you when difficulties arise in your life. It's kind of like having a fuel tank. And then you're more prepared for the challenges of life, including the capacity to experience the joys of life. And resilience is really a critical life skill, one in which you survive and thrive and grow in the face of adversity. And the Hoffman process expands our window of tolerance, including tolerance for life stressors and the unexpected experience that happens. And at the moment, there's quite a lot of challenge in life, wouldn't you say? You know, we might be looking for things to trust. We might be looking for things, people, substances outside of ourselves for comfort, reassurance. You know, this is the time really to find our home within ourselves, to actually find the deepest connection to ourselves, which is then really going to help us, as well as leaning into others. So it's like a real moment in time to trust what it is that we trust. So tonight we're not going to dwell on the pandemic. Obviously, it's a lesson in collective vulnerability, which is absolutely extraordinary and unprecedented. And in some ways, we have to surrender to the circumstances of what's going on right now. I mean, obviously, there are things that we can do. We can do our bit to stay indoors, keep safe, wash our hands, not connect with others, or whatever's going on in the particular country that you're in. But we're also fairly powerless over most of what's happening. So just for a moment, just feel what that's like for you. The idea of surrendering and being powerless. Is it difficult? It's a real moment, isn't it, to be with the way things are. So some of us might be feeling frightened. Fear is, after all, a normal, healthy response. And yes, the virus is dangerous and there are economic issues. These are all true. Fear is a great way of us connecting to our bodies, and it's a natural response. So we have to honor it, and we have to learn to live with it in some ways. But it's very different from living on the left road, down the old way, where your dark side takes the lead. So, you know, you might think about what your dark side's been saying about this. You know, perhaps, oh, it's, you know, it's in denial. Perhaps it's saying, oh, it's silly, you know, go and distract yourself, or, you know, better stock up, load up the cupboards, or, you know, God, it's all going to end in hell. You know, abandon your sobriety, you might as well. Perhaps you're comforting yourself with your old habits. You know, the dark side takes us down what is familiar and is probably quite loud at the moment. So, you know, the new normal right road, as things go on, the outer circumstances of life happen. And it's how we respond to them that's interesting. So today, you know, we're going to have some practices acknowledging whatever you're feeling. Remember, we always say that on the process, don't we? Whatever you're feeling, stay with it, be with it. And this is very much true of now. And then we're going to have some practices to help you, to support you, some new ones, some old ones. And all the practices are going to help improve your immunity and your mental health and your emotional well-being. So if that sounds exciting, then let's see where we go with this. You know, the opportunity here is to find the gift in the struggle. And that's often quite hard. I know a lot of people have been feeling a lot more connection with their children. A lot of people are having to sit in relationships that perhaps aren't as comfortable as they would like. A lot of people are stuck with children at home and having to sort of create and be enormously creative in that. And some people are isolating alone, in which case, boy, are you left with yourself. A lot of people really struggle to be on their own. And this is a wonderful opportunity to dive inside and see how it really feels. And to know that inside there is your lovability and your strength. You've all been through things before in your life that you've struggled with and survived. And we're going to have a look at that as well this evening. Medical science has increasingly shown that stress negatively impacts our immune system. And that practices a lot of them Hoffman tools, other things that you do in your life, actually support our immune system. So stress hormones are released when we feel stuck in frustration or anger, but very significantly when we're in fear. So fear like raises the alarm bells, initiates the release of stress hormones in an attempt to mobilize us, to get us going out of danger. But unfortunately, these stress hormones have a, you know, pretty deleterious impact on our organs, and particularly the immune system. So stress responses increase strain on the circulatory system and also the effect the immune system by raising blood pressure, for example. So of course, it's great if you're facing a dangerous situation to have that response. But this stress response doesn't serve us in the most challenging situations that require problem solving and action planning. Because stress reactions just shut down creative higher thinking and problem solving, and initiates, kicks off that well-known reaction, fight, flight, freeze. And also maybe the less talked about stress reaction of tend and befriend, which is the jump in tendency to like jump into caretaking when under stress, instead of looking at us after ourselves. So down this negative left road with your dark side, reactive patterns that commonly occur from our dark side might be running away or denial, a bit of magical thinking like, oh, this is all going to be over in a week, it'll all be fine, catastrophizing, blaming, aggressiveness, victim thinking, caretaking, substance use, overeating. So do make some notes for yourself on page 7 if you have the worksheets there, which is at the end of the sheets, page 7. Just have a look there. What patterns might be coming up for you on this negative left road? Just make a note of them there. Parent you learnt them from. It's important to name all the stuff, even if it's difficult. So I'm just going to unmute you. I'd love to hear from a couple of you about what patterns you've got coming up for you. What have you got? Serena, could you unmute? Perhaps if you want to say anything, just pop your hand up and wave.
I don't mind going. No one else says. I'm getting a pattern of neediness. Being isolating, basically alone, not being able to see friends, family. I need them.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Anyone else?
Eliza, what would help is if people could unmute themselves rather than meeting everyone.
Thank you very much.
If you want to share anything, that would be easier. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Anyone else? Just unmute and go.
Becky here. Hi.
Becky.
Yeah, I'm going into a bit of overdrive on trying to control the bits I can control. but yeah, definitely going into overdrive on that.
The controlling patterns, there they are. Thank you. Thanks, Becky. Anyone else?
Hi. Hi.
Kate here. I'm definitely going into my caretaking phase.
Oh, yes.
Two of my four children here, so that's sort of taking over, and I'm treating them as if they're 4 years old again.
Nice. Bet they're loving that. Thanks, Kate.
Okay.
Saralta, did you say something?
Yes, I would say that for me it's a lot of restlessness and a lot of keeping myself busier. I'm actually more tired after 2.5 weeks locked in. the house that I was before. I'm overdoing, overdoing. It's like I have no time to even sleep.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I mean, a lot of this time is going to be about being, isn't it? Mm. And that's really hard. Yeah, great, thank you. Any last one?
Hello. Yeah. overeating lots of junk food. It's definitely been happening.
Anyone else overeating? Hands up. Yes. I think they said that was one of the first things they did initially, was overeat. Yeah. Great. Okay. So if you could mute yourselves now, that'd be great. I'm just going to take off my video for a bit. So good to hear from you. So you've written down some patterns there and identifying those stress-related patterns and de-energizing the patterns, practicing compassion and recycling, all very much an important aspect of self-care. And doing this is going to improve both your mood and your health and your immunity. So it's interesting. There's a lot here about from HeartMath, an American Psychological Association, saying, this is a quote, "Managing stress, especially chronic or long-term stress, even if it's not intense, may help people to fight germs." So, you know, this isn't necessarily the stress we might feel in our sort of normal lives, like you feel pumping around your system when you've driven too fast and the car in front suddenly brakes. You know, that's more of a kind of like, gosh, you know, poof, in that moment up comes the cortisol from the danger of the event. This is more about a chronic state. So, you know, just sort of feel into your body if there's a notice whether you've had a sort of all day long contraction inside, just feel it in your body if it's there. You know, perhaps there are thoughts about, oh gosh, you know, what's going on with my loved ones? What's going to happen next? I'm isolated, I'm needy, I'm lonely, I'm controlling, I can't bear to be with myself. All those things. So just a reminder of how up and down the process was. I mean, do you remember at times, you know, sobbing in tears, at times furious, at times laughing? Maybe you spaced out, perhaps you shut down, you went through the motions, but there was generally plenty of feelings and expressions going on. And maybe at times you wanted to run away on the process. You thought, God, I'm out of here. This is bonkers. I don't want this. But you kept going. Now you somehow reconnected with your spiritual self, with your intention. And then the steps of the process help keep you moving more deeply into your authentic self. And in that week, would you say that you had experiences that you've never had before in your life? Yeah. I'll say, you know, and just in that week, you know, you really expanded your own resilience through trying different things. And of course, you left with your tools, your toolbox, tools that can serve your deepening experience of resilience down there on the right road. So today we're going to practice some variations of those tools and experiences. And through those practices, we support our capacity to stay present, chance to be with ourselves, our capacity to lose balance and come home again to ourselves, even in the most challenging of times. We all get knocked down sometimes. It's the ability to come back. So we're going to have a look at times in your life where that's happened, so you can see how resilient you already are. Resilience is the, you know, that sense of being at home in yourself, being your full self. And all your practices help, you know, and then you just become better and better at it. And each of us learns to do this to one degree or another, but each of us is limited in our capacity by one degree or another by personal history, past experiences and patterns. So one important component and support of your resilience is connection. The connection with yourself but also connection with others. That kind of receiving and giving. To see whether you're somebody who likes to receive or someone who likes to give. Just notice for yourself in this moment. See what sort of person you are. You're a giver, a receiver, or have you got the balance fairly well sorted? Because we are social relational beings. And our relationships are a source of resilience. So at this time, particularly reaching out, receiving support, giving support, listening, revealing, showing your vulnerability, holding, comforting, allowing ourselves to be comforted, caring, loving, letting love in, all of this supports resilience in the face of life. And all of this is a demonstration of resilience. So, you know, really at this time, stay in contact and connection with others. Now, maybe you want to meet live for a cuppa with friends on screen. Okay, we're going to have an experience now about how you hold a challenge. So if you get your worksheet out or just a piece of paper, if you haven't got it, page one. And then I'd like you to reflect on a difficult experience from current life or the past. So maybe it was a loss of a friend or divorce or relationship struggles, an illness, illness and death of a loved one, loss of a job, whatever it happens to be for you, difficult experience from current life or the past. So we're going to revisit this experience, revisit the feelings, and take a look and acknowledge how you navigated that experience. And this could include an array of behaviors, responses, feelings. So close your eyes for a moment. Take a breath. And then take yourself back to a past experience or into this current difficult experience. Perhaps at times you fell apart. Perhaps you felt hopeless. Maybe sad. Perhaps you spent time in tears or stupefied by pain. Or felt really angry. Just remember what it felt like. Difficult, adverse situation. And now, think about then what? Yeah, then what? What did you do to navigate this experience? How did you ride these rapids in your river of life? So, did you reach out to someone you felt safe with? If so, who did you let in? Did you listen to yourself? To your needs, your feelings. Maybe you found comfort with a pet. How did you care for yourself? Did you give up on the idea you had to be perfect? What helped you navigate this experience? And at times, did you get stuck in a kind of victim mode? You know, maybe, oh, why me? Poor me. Did you spend a lot of time there? Did you feel okay to feel your grief? Or did you try and avoid it and just muscle through? Could you just be with it all? Or did you dive into your addictions? Getting busy, drinking, whatever it is, exercise, work? Or were you just able to be with it? Did you find ways to support yourself? How did you take care of yourself? What worked? What didn't? Did you reach out to friends using practices, exercise, journal? Could you find relief and focus on the other things in the rest of your life, like finding pleasure in having fun with others, or hanging out with children or an animal, or, you know, could you work? Could you let yourself be absorbed by something other than the pain and the confusion, anger, numbness, or need to know the outcome? Or did it put a full stop? And as you reflect, just notice when you did find yourself proactive, taking appropriate and effective action. What's that like? And when did you find yourself in the present moment? And how present and responsive were you able to be with your feelings without being defeated by them? And during that time, did you find strength in both receiving and giving support and love? Could you let others in? As you reflect on it now, did you learn something about yourself or about life from this experience? Did it stretch you? How did you grow? And how have you changed as a result of this experience? How has it affected your sense of self? And finally, faced with a similar experience or any other kind of challenge, do you bring new awareness and skill that you developed through this particular challenge? And how can you build on that? So, just going back and writing down on page one now, making some notes for yourself. Describing the difficult experience from current life, or the past, taking some notes for yourself. The times you felt proud of yourself or strong. Times when you didn't, you felt weak and ashamed. Just write down whatever happened. And importantly, what you learned. How you demonstrated resilience. Let's take a few minutes to write and making note of yourself, your capacity to learn from experience, to learn from mistakes, is an expression of your resilience. Perhaps you fell into resistance or victimhood, or maybe you experienced that fight, flight, freeze reaction. If you ever have that, it's a good thing to note down here. Someone who, when confronted with trauma, runs away, wants to fight, or freezes like a rabbit in the headlights. perhaps you've got a variation of different ones and different circumstances. What takes you out of that? What helps you negotiate reconnection with your body? Because a lot of this is very felt sense, isn't it? Very much in the body. And also there's a section there about regrets, because, you know, though we learn from mistakes and challenges, we're sometimes left with regrets. And yeah, with hindsight, we can always think of other ways we could have behaved and acted, but we can learn from those places too. And this is a place where self-compassion practice is super valuable. We'll just take another minute to write anything else. Okay. So now we're going to have a full body experience. So either you want to do the sitting or standing, whichever you like. If you want to stand up, please do that now. Otherwise, just making sure you're in a good upright position, your feet on the ground. If you don't have a headset, perhaps you choose to use the speakerphone, but please mute your phone if you do. So, whether you're sitting or standing, just letting your feet be hip distance apart with your arms by your side. And allow your eyes to remain open for this experience. If they close as we move along, that's fine too, but can be valuable to just actually experience the centering practice with your eyes open. So first, just take a moment to acknowledge how you're feeling, what you're feeling right now in the body. Notice the sensations in your body that you experience. So track through your body. Really breathing in there, feeling yourself in your body. Is part of your body feeling cool or warm? Do you feel pressure, tightness, energy flowing or blocked? Any numbness, tingling, pain, dead areas that feel super numb? Be attentive to the sensations in your body. Perhaps you can feel your heart beating, sensation of air moving through your nostrils. And just notice the contact of your feet with the floor. If you're seated, notice the pressure of your thighs and buttocks in contact with the chair you're in. Just softly out loud, name the sensations that you notice. Saying them softly out loud to yourself, validating your experience. hearing your voice. And now bring your attention to your center, the center of your body. So a space about 2 or 3 finger widths below your navel, below your belly button, right in the center of your body. And now bring your breath down into that center. Maybe you want to put a hand on your belly and so you can feel the movement of your breath as you take the breath right down into your belly, into your center. Let your belly be soft and breathe. And simply feel the flow of your breath and the movement of your body as you breathe into your center. It's so simple. If your head's busy, then just give it a little shake if you're full of thoughts. Otherwise, just staying with your breath, breathing into your center, allowing your energy to float from the center up through your body. Up through your throat, the crown of your head, up to the sky. And then feeling the energy going down, down through your hips, thighs, your knees, your calves, through your ankles, into your feet, through the soles of your feet, down towards the center of the earth, grounding you. And feeling that energy going up now as well. So from this central axis, just feel your length. Feel your length from your feet right up through your head. Just breathing into that. And then from this central axis, you're going to expand into your width. So right the way across your body. So continuing to breathe in your center, allow your energy to expand to each side of you, from ear to ear, shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip, outside of right leg to outside of left leg, ankle to ankle. Just feel your width. You might notice that just as with your length, energetically, you expand beyond the edges of your physical body. So just breathe into your center and your own width. If you drift away, just come back to your breath. Breathing into your center, into your length and your width. And then from this central plane, now you're going to experience your depth. So as you breathe from your center, allow your energy to flow into your depth. So feel yourself expand into the back of your body. Into your back, feel the skin on the back of your body, the back of your head, your shoulders, your spine, your buttocks. Allow your energy to flow through your body, through the muscle, the bones, the organs, to the front of your body. Become aware of the front of your body, the feel of your clothes resting on your chest, your legs. Feel your own depth. And again, perhaps you notice that just as with your length and width, energetically you expand beyond the edges of your physical body. So just simply notice. Just how you feel, what you're experiencing, and breathe into it. And breathe into your center, experiencing your length and width and depth. And then notice your sensations and feelings and just name them softly out loud for yourself, hearing yourself say them. As you continue to breathe into your center, allow one thing that you love or care about to bubble up. Might be a quality of life, a person, quality of yourself. Name it for yourself. And now breathe this love. Breathe it down into your center. And savor that love. Now as you breathe into your center, you're breathing into your own love and caring, into what matters to you. So again, notice any sensations and feelings, and really just naming it for yourself. You breathe, perhaps another thing that you love or care about comes up. Just name that as well. And maybe your eyes have closed, but just continue breathing into your center and keeping your eyes open now as you take another moment to breathe, feeling your length, your width, your depth, and your center. Acknowledging what you love. Pay attention to your own experience. And take a moment now to experience yourself right in this moment, right here, right now, because that's all we ever have. Just be in this moment right now. How do you feel in your body? Is there stability there? What do you notice inside, around you? What do you hear? Just feeling yourself with that presence. And then just going to give you a minute or two to write down some notes on page 2 about your experience. Maybe what you felt or something you love. Question you may have. Page 2. Just make some notes for yourself. So centering really brings us into our bodies to be present and more resilient, better able to respond, better able to take some of those knocks and still enjoy life. This centering practice can create a sense of home in ourselves. So we don't have to look for it out there. It's all inside of us, all available to us. Just feeling in there. Don't lose it either as you do your writing. Don't lose yourself in your head. Only just staying with your experience. Okay, just another minute to make any more notes. Okay, so you've had an experience of looking at the challenge and what was difficult for you, and you had an experience of being with your body. What we're going to do now is have an experience where you practice moving back and forth from those two places. It's a bit similar to recycling, but not quite the same. So as best you can, just let your body take the lead. And later on, you can take some notes. So we're going to move now in and out of a triggered state. So think of a time that you've been triggered in a habitual pattern state or a dark side takeover. Perhaps you can remember that sinking feeling you had when you were interacting with someone, or you're in a bad place. Name that pattern for you. And whatever arises, just go back to that moment when you were triggered and bring your attention to the body sensations, the feelings, the thoughts, any images associated with that state, with this kind of experience, and let yourself fully experience the feelings and sensations of that moment in your body. Feel what it's like. And, you know, perhaps your body's already taken on a slight shape of it, but I want you to let your body move more fully into the shifting, into the shape that it would be in this situation, exaggerated a bit. Yeah, perhaps there's a contraction. There's a sort of folding over. Really embodying that experience. Dial it up a bit. Just hold the posture. Don't need to figure anything out, just stay with it. Perhaps in the actual situation that happened and you didn't really let yourself go there, but now just let your body move into that old shape, that triggered shape, that old, possibly so-called safe shape. Perhaps you cave in, curl around your heart. Perhaps you turn to one side or the other, or your chest puffs up and your body becomes rigid and threatening, or perhaps it's just a picture of collapse. Just do whatever your body would have done at the time with those feelings. Maybe it's a posture of defiance. Just hold it. Notice what you feel in this posture, in this situation. Perhaps you feel safe. Like hidden. Yeah, the walls are up. I'm holding myself. I'm repelling attack. Just notice, what are your sensations, your thoughts? And now, in this triggered, threatening situation, just ramp it up some. Even if it's 10% or something, just ramp it up, exaggerate it, notice what you feel. What are your sensations? What are your thoughts? Without thinking about it, allow your body, your being, to now switch, to change, to move you to a posture that is open and present. So perhaps breathing out that previous posture. And then just coming into a place where you feel present. You're still in that particular experience, but you're opening your body in the presence of this experience. So the difficulty might still be there, but you're changing the way you are. So feel your way into your body's experience of this posture. And just stay in this expanded posture. Noticing your sensations, your feelings, your thoughts. breathing into yourself, feeling that openness and receptivity to the situation, however difficult it is. And now, ramp it up some, dial it up. That's connecting to your spiritual self, exaggerating it, turning it up at least 10%. And now, without thinking, just return to the original posture. That one which, you know, may be comforting. Certainly it's familiar, the collapse. The defended. The rigid. Whatever it is for you. Feel it in your body. Be curious. Maintaining that shape. Dialing it up. And then breathing into yourself, expanding now, expanding your body, coming out of that, opening, expressing more of your spiritual self, coming out of it. Letting your body find its way into a comfortable posture, open to the situation, vulnerable and safe in yourself. So it may be entirely new or it may incorporate elements of each, but just notice your sensations and feelings in this posture. What state are you in now? Bit similar to recycling. One of the great things about going back and forth is really recognizing that you can visit difficult places without being trapped there. You know, going back and forth between a contracted, collapsed state to an open state can really build resilience. It's like, I don't need to be afraid of collapsing because I know don't need to stay there. I can close up at times. I don't need to stay there. And I can be kind to myself and my need for the comfortable, the safe, the habitual. So in your work sheets now, turn to page 3, where there's space there to write down. Your experience of moving back and forth, of titrating. And I'm just writing down some notes. If you want to share anything or got any thoughts or questions, then please unmute and I'm here listening.
Elisa, yes, hi. Could you tell more about titrating?
Titrating. Titrating is where you go between one experience and another.
So like balancing from
pretty much what you just did now, Nadia, of having the old feeling of the collapse or rigidity and then coming into a place where you're more connected to your spirit. So it's having that journey between the two is really what titrating is about. And if you can move back and forward between them, then it really helps build resilience.
So it's back and forth.
Yeah.
It's not being stuck in any...
Exactly.
What helps this move from spiritual self coming back to this dark side? What does it bring? What is this?
It helps you to know that you don't have to get stuck somewhere. And also each time that you go to a darker place, you have the opportunity to know what it's like to physically feel the strength that you have and the resilience. So it's like resilience is really important. Like, for instance, your mother spent her time when she was pregnant listening to classical music and eating organic vegetables and, you know, doing all the right things.
I wouldn't be here.
You wouldn't be. The baby wouldn't have the resilience to be in the world. You know, it's like we all of us need challenge. We need to have things that challenge us and that create a strength within us. And that's what resilience is. So the child who makes a mistake and is told that that's fine and that the child is learning, it's great. You see little children, don't you, running around learning how to walk. They don't fall over and go, well, I'm not trying that again. They go, oh, I'll just get up and do it again. Yeah. And it's that kind of, you know, we have so much of our dark side and our thoughts about how we should be and la, 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 that it gets in the way of us really feeling that our own strength. Mm-hmm. So this practice is really about going to the difficult place and being able to feel our strength within it.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay. Any other? Okay. So you've all written stuff down. All right.
Sorry, Eliza?
Yes.
I'm not sure I really understand what you've just said about going into the dark place and feeling our strength within it. Like, if it's a dark place, it's not a nice place. So why would we want to kind of revel in our strength in it?
It's less about reveling in it. It's more kind of if we've been there and we've survived it. So it's a bit like the first exercise we had where we looked at what have been challenging and what lessons we've learned from it. The opportunity in the shadow is really quite big. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you can know that you've survived something, then it's easier to come out of that and into a place where you can feel your own strength and resilience. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I'm just going to go on now. Talking a little bit about this, which is good. So, so really the opportunities in life and the body as a resource for understanding it, because the body expresses the past, but it does inhabit the present. So if we can inhabit our body consciously, if we're physically open to life, open to spiritual self, we naturally come into presence. But of course our bodies, you know, do know our limits, and there's some safety in the ways that we've used to protect ourselves. You know, contracting from fear is okay, but don't be rigid with it. And it's like saying, you know, fear isn't a pattern. It's only a pattern if we get stuck in it as a constant. It's not negative, it's a communication system. Fear is a natural response, very useful. So, you know, just, it's like not getting too stuck in it, almost like you can be in as an observer with it without the need to become rigid in it. So we have to be gentle with ourselves. So we're going to have a little compassion, self-compassion experience to anchor ourselves in love rather than fear. And to acknowledge, humans, fear is a human experience, but not something to avoid out of judgment. Look, it's all right to be frightened. So let's have a little experience of self-compassion. I mean, there's a lot written now, scientifically demonstrated to improve our immune system. You know, if you discovered some regression, shame or suffering on that reflection on page one, then just use that in this compassion practice. Otherwise, you might use anything you tend to hold on to against yourself, or a pattern that demands that you hurt yourself, like being self-critical. There's a lot. Here's a Kristin Neff, who's a neuropsychologist, and lots of other people talk about self-compassion as having a non-judgmental mindfulness quality, where your feelings aren't suppressed or over-exaggerated, that there's no self-judgment, it's common humanity. So it's being able to see that other people suffer as well. It's not just happening to me alone. So connecting with others helps with that. So I'm just going to lead you through this self-compassion piece. So Just be in an open, relaxed position, uncrossing your legs. Yeah, take a breath into your body as you place your hands over your heart, one on top of the other. Experience the sensations. Consciously breathe into your heart. Notice your feelings. Perhaps breathing in for the count of three. One, two, three. Holding it for three. One, two, three. Out for three. One, two, three. Let's do that a few times. Perhaps you can notice your heartbeat. So just remember that time of regret or shame, suffering, and just acknowledge that this is a moment of suffering. And we all have pain. Perhaps there's a kind of, you know, I wish I could have handled that better, or ashamed, I felt like a victim, or should have been stronger, so frightened. Wish I could have been more honest. Just see this hurt. And it was a moment of suffering. And even now you suffer when you recognize your limitations and acknowledge this. Maybe say, this is a moment of suffering, or I hurt when I remember doing that. Say it to yourself. Just pay attention to the tone you use with yourself as well. You're a bit harsh with yourself, or are you kind? The truth is that suffering is a part of life. It's part of being human. Making mistakes, suffering, a part of life. There's such an attachment that everything should be upbeat and positive all the time. You know, actually there is suffering. You know, Buddha opened his eyes after all those years sitting under the tree and said there is suffering. It's a normal part of life. And just imagine now a dark room and a candle that's lit in the dark room. If we didn't have the darkness, we wouldn't know the light. We don't have to be attached to feeling good all the time. So just bring breath into any place in your body that needs healing and attention. Just bringing gentle breath to it. Maybe saying, may I be kind to myself, softly under your breath. May I be kind to myself. Notice the sensations in your body. May I learn to accept myself as I am. May I be strong. Just breathing into that. Acknowledging this place inside of you. Letting your attention drop into your heart. Perhaps finding a place where something's still unhealed. Something feels a bit cracked. Scar from the past. Time when you were alone and hurting. Got betrayed or abandoned. Feeling into that wound. Perhaps there have been moments when you felt, I'm too broken, I'm too defective. Just feel. And then just gently placing your hands over your heart more fully, really coming into full connection, breathing into your body. And softly repeat after me. This is a moment of suffering. This is a moment of suffering. Suffering is part of life. Suffering is part of life. May I be kind to myself. May I be kind to myself. May I be safe. May I be safe. May I be peaceful. May I be peaceful. May I give myself the compassion I need. Just taking that in. Breathing into the light of your compassion. Feel it extend to you. The hurts, the parts. Yes, they've been there, but they're part of your past. They're part of your path. They're part of your journey. You are the person today from those difficult experiences. You are the sum total of everything you've ever been. You don't have to be perfect to be lovable and loving. So allow your entire being to be warmed by the light. Now visualize yourself doing practices that support and nourish you, that are kind to you. Practices that support your spirit, your resilience, whether it's walking in nature, meditating, music, dancing, creativity, journaling, painting. Visualizations, play. Just experience that. What fills you up? What nourishes you? What do you love doing? What helps you feel alive? Letting yourself feel that. Experience the light filling you from head to toe. Staying the light of compassion in your heart. And just softly opening your eyes. And on page 5 in your working sheets, there's a space there for some practices. So just thinking now about, you know, what do you love doing? When do you feel most alive, created, connected? You know, how do you connect to life? Just making some notes for yourself. And as you do, I'll remind you of some of the practices from the Hoffman tools and practices. So there's the quadrantee check-in. Valuable way of knowing what's going on for you. Visualizations. Recycling. Having compassion for others, remembering that every person's got a little child inside of them. Appreciation and gratitude, lovely practice. Things you appreciate in yourself, things you're grateful for. Have a look at that in a minute. Checking in with your spiritual self, getting messages from your spiritual self and your guide. And then that great tool of de-energizing your dark side, whether you rip it off and throw it on the ground and stomp on your dark side, or you're somewhere more public where you can just brush it off your shoulder. You're starting to master that negative critical voice. Naming your feelings, really honoring what it is you feel. Using the transference model if you have issues with people. Recycling. Just Just making sure you've made a list of the things that are going to help you. And just really make a commitment to your practice. You know, very important at this time. And it could be a time where you've actually got more time and space for this. So commit to bringing these practices, these tools into your life in small or big ways. I mean, let's face it, the whole of our life is a kind of resilience practice. Look at any day. Challenges, the pleasures, the difficulties, it's all there. Lots of humour, connections, moments of loneliness, a bit of anger. I just feel there's a lot there, isn't there? The range of our feelings. So just appreciate your ability to navigate all that comes at you and all you can create. Okay. So I'm just going to ask you for any questions or comments as we come to the very last bit of our time together before we do some gratitude and appreciation. Is there anything anyone would like to say? Any questions or anything of what I've spoken about?
Liza?
Yes.
I wondered if you could repeat the piece that you read out about this is a moment of suffering.
Yes. Absolutely. So this is a, I'll tell you what I'll do actually, I'll probably, this is a moment of suffering. Suffering is a part of life. May I be kind to myself. May I love myself. May I be safe. May I be peaceful. May I give myself the compassion I need.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome. Anyone else? I see. Any questions or comments?
Liza, I just want to say thank you. It's been really lovely.
Good. No, it's been lovely for me too. It's very nourishing, isn't it? Yes. To remind ourselves of. No, we're so fortunate, aren't we? And I do feel so grateful to have done the process and have all these tools and access to my spiritual self at this time and know what works for me and going for a walk, whatever it happens to be. And we're all very lucky, aren't we? We can all go to bed with our cuddly toy as well. Not many people can say that.
Liza, could I just ask you what the, just at the end there, you just talked about a model, if you have issues with people or something like that.
The transference model.
The yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Long time since I did the
I think there's a visualization of it somewhere. So on the website, you'll probably find it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're definitely going to do a special webinar on it as well. So okay. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Thank
yeah.
you all. Liza, you did mention an author or someone that wrote about this.
Kristin Neff. Kristin Neff. N-E-F-F.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't want to keep you too late and too long, so let's just end with some appreciation and gratitude. So just notice what you really appreciated about yourself today. What qualities did you see in yourself? What did you do? What obstacle did you overcome? A hurdle, a difficulty? Where did you find your ground? And just making a note for those yourself on page 6. What do you appreciate about yourself from today? Get 3 things down there. And then three things that you're grateful for today. Could be really simple things. I don't know about you, but there's certainly opportunities to be a lot more grateful, I think, than ever before at the moment. You could probably make that 10 things you're grateful for in this day. Might have seen a dog wagging its tail on your walk today, or perhaps you ate some food that you really appreciated, spent time with somebody on a screen or in person, so you really appreciate their support. Perhaps the sun came out or you laughed. All these moments, all these exquisite moments, you know, the more present you are, the more you can lap them up. So take those in. Take in the appreciation of yourself. You're trying to stay as embodied as possible at the moment. Really staying with yourself, keeping yourself close, keeping yourself, you know, close as in informed about what's going on for you. Aware, conscious, alive. You know, we're all here. We're still here. And there's a huge amount, isn't there, of gratitude and appreciation to be had being alive. So send my absolute very best to all of you. Suggest that you stay in touch, I mean, possibly with your original group who you did the process with. You know, get in touch with them, get in touch with friends and family. Stay in touch, most importantly, with yourself. And just sending a lot of appreciation out to, I know there are people on this call who are actually working on the front line of the NHS at the moment. And to everyone who's taking care of us at the moment, an enormous gratitude for the delivery people, the people who are working in shops and all that's going on out there in the world. There's a lot to be really grateful for. So, dear people, anyone like to say anything as we do put yourself off mute as we come to the end, or any questions or comments or anything?
Just a big thank you from me. Mm. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Mm. Thank you so much, Eliza. So needed.
Good.
Thank you, Eliza. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Lovely
so much.
Messages coming in.
Welcome, thank you, Eliza.
Welcome.
Thank you, Eliza. Thanks. So just in a minute, I'll unmute everybody and people can say goodbye. But just a reminder that we do a daily quad check every morning on Zoom. You can find the details on the website. It's at 8 a.m. UK time. Matthew Pruin is leading tomorrow mornings. And also every Wednesday evening we'll be doing a webinar like this. So just stay in touch with us through graduates@. You can book coaching sessions. If something maybe has even come up for you this evening, you know, look after yourselves and be in touch with us through graduates@ withmyinstitute.co.uk. Lots of love. Much appreciation to you, Eliza. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. A joy. Lots thank of love,
you.
Everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well,
everybody.
Bye. Nice,
everybody.
Bye. Thank you
so much. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.